Hey there, where have you been? Welcome to the No Jet Stress podcast, the show that helps you maintain optimal health and peak performance as a road warrior, no matter how much you travel. I'm your host, Christopher Babiodi, traveler wellness advocate, nutritional therapist, author, and ex-flight attendant of 20 years at British Airways, one of the UK's largest airlines.
Welcome back to the No Jet Stress podcast. In our last episode, we looked at Time Shifter and the wisdom of Mickey Bear Clausen and what they found as being the best tool to help manage jet lag. In this episode, I'm going to cover my discussion with James Hewitt, the human performance scientist. Echoing that episode, James politely ribbed me about me saying I wanted to get down to the good stuff because he had so much of it to give. So, without much ado, let's crack on and dive deeper into knowledge work and how it benefits business travellers. What is a human performance scientist? And what does it have to do with business travel? Well, interesting questions. A human performance scientist is someone who is able to decode the landscape around excellence in human performance of any skill. What makes talking to James special was that, one, he understood the link between sports science and the cutting edge and the findings in that, and was able to bring that into the workplace, and in so doing, help us unlock that new breed of animal in the workplace. We went from globalization and technology to the information age, and we've now moved on from the information age to the age of the knowledge worker. The knowledge worker is consistently and continually amassing knowledge to help them perform their job in better ways, more creative ways, for the maximum benefit. Business travelers, or at least the bulk of business travelers, are more often than not knowledge workers with specialty skills that are needed across the globe that facilitates them traveling to these destinations in order to deliver that knowledge or perform the skill sets they have to encourage business connections, collaborations, or whatever else it is that they are selling. Therefore, business travelers are knowledge workers. If that's the case, what are the tool sets that knowledge workers have that business travelers can benefit from? That's what I found fascinating about my conversation with James. One of the things I really liked about James's perspective was that rather than give tidbits in the form of tips, James laid out his stall by talking about frameworks and concepts. The three main concepts that he spoke of that I think are useful for us to grasp and understand as business travelers are cognitive endurance, cognitive load, and cognitive gears. On top of that, we talked about some more tools that are related to how we manage our internal world, if you like. And I'll come to that in a bit later. What was really great about this for me specifically, though, was we tend to exist in a world that has an increasing amount of variety. And yet, when we come to similar problems, we don't necessarily see the pattern that underpins them. And in fashioning the Farewell Jet Lag solution, I actually make sure that I have people understand that it is a system. And if you work with a system, you get predictable results that you can rely on and help you get to a better quality of health as a business traveler. And it seems like James also has this underpinning in the discussion that we had. And that's why these concepts are useful. They can help you build your own toolkit, and you can actually use some of the tools that we did discuss, i.e. specifics, in the context of helping you understand and make these concepts more malleable to the things that you want them to do for you. With that said then, let's try and grasp one of the main frameworks that James offered us. And it was this idea that as a business traveler setting out one stall, he or she might want to break the year down according to the types of trips they expect to undertake and break that down even further to daily routines and things that actually align with their ability to be cognitively enduring, manage cognitive load, and work with their cognitive gears in such a way that they don't burn out. There's that word again, burnout. The whole idea here is, how do we create a sustainable knowledge worker, a sustainable business traveler that does not burn out? And it's through understanding and the pre-planning of one's trips and the general arc of one's work that one is able to do this. And I think this is really important to grasp, because sometimes it seems like there is so much variety in the workplace that it can actually be quite hard to have the foresight when you're being pulled left, right, and center by circumstances and the uncertainty and variety that tends to come the way of business travelers. But if you can bear that in mind, make that plan. You may have heard, no plan survives the first contact with the enemy. This being the case, you still make the plan. So make the plan and see how that goes, and have that as a guide. And you can always use that to determine how far off course you might be, or how, you know, well on course you might be, but make the plan. Okay, you've got the plan. What is the aim of the plan? Well, the aim of the plan is to make sure that you have cognitive endurance, right? You want the endurance. You want to make sure that no matter how much you travel, whenever, where and whenever you arrive, that you have the ability to perform your duties and execute as planned so that all goes well. That's the idea of you managing whatever it is in between your ears in such a way that the journey doesn't take everything out of you, that you malfunction, get too stressed, don't make the best calls, don't make the best impressions, whatever it is you want to do. That's generally a simplified idea of having cognitive endurance. And having cognitive endurance comes about due to a factor that was alluded to, which is cognitive load, another concept. Cognitive load, how much of whatever it is that you're dealing with can you take for you to stay out of overwhelm? The simple story that I can remember when I started flying for British Airways was that we were all ushered into a conference room. And in this conference room, we were told that through our career at the airline, we would turn up at work at various days, and on certain days, we would have what we all call a capacity bucket. And we accumulate the stresses of the day or the morning or the night or whatever it is along the way into that capacity bucket before we get to work. On some days, the capacity bucket might be empty. On other days, it might be a quarter full. On other days, on worse days, it might be overflowing. That being the case, we need to have the awareness of that capacity bucket so that we can manage accordingly, depending on how much stress we perceive in and around that time that we report. Because obviously we want to go in and do a good job. And if we're stressed, it's harder to do that. We know that for a fact. Anytime we're stressed, it's harder to perform at our best. So managing your cognitive load is something that we must all become adept at doing, and having the awareness that we have the ability to increase our cognitive endurance by managing the cognitive load is a good thing in and of itself. Before we move on to cognitive gears, we want to know, what are the things that might increase or decrease cognitive loads? If something increases a cognitive load, it may be bad. If something decreases a cognitive load, it may be good. But it's not always so straightforward. Well, stress at work, stress from colleagues, stress at home, all types of stress can increase cognitive loads. But it's not all for naught. Meaning, it doesn't mean it's all bad. If you want to take on the concept of being anti-fragile, as per Nassim Taleb, then you want to be able to say to the world, kick me about as much as you can, I can take it, and I come back stronger. But that takes practice and exercise. So cognitive load is nebulous in that sense, because it can be positive as well as negative, but you need to understand your relationship to it in order to have the best result from whatever is presented to you. Coming on to cognitive gears, we want to be able to manage our cognitive gears. And this comes along with an understanding that there is actually more than one gear. Fun fact, we tend to go about life thinking that there is only one gear and burn ourselves out in that one gear. And that's not the best way to go about our business, so to speak. Cognitive gears presupposes that there are two windows of productivity in any 24-hour day. The first window is when one would perhaps do one's best, most important work. Then there is a lull in the circadian rhythm and the ability to focus and remain concentrated is less than that first period. And then we rebound for a second period. And that's the second window where one can actually use more productively. The trick is being able to know when your cognitive gears are engaged and in what period you happen to be working in and working according to that. This in and of itself, considering we have 8-hour days and up, does not mean that you can only be productive in those two windows. What it actually means is you set the type of work that's going to give you your biggest return in those type of windows and do other productive work in those other periods where there's a lull in your concentration, your ability to focus, or your creativity. That way, one moves forward consistently on a regular basis with the best productivity ratio and as little waste as possible. Personally, I would look at this as a hypothesis that needs to be proven in your daily life, the way that you live your life right now. And by that, I mean, if you are a night owl or a late morning type, or, you know, not necessarily a lark, then you might have trouble working that into your system. So the best advice would be to make it work for you, but bearing in mind the idea that you have certain periods of super focus and productivity and other periods where you're less so. And therefore, if you're able to plan accordingly, you should get similar results to those who are typically morning larks. Those are the three concepts that particularly stood out when talking to James: cognitive endurance, cognitive load, and cognitive gears. Now, taking a step back for a minute, one of the other noticeable things about my discussion with James was the idea that he had an understanding of sports science and used that to inform the type of things that he was bringing into the realm of knowledge workers. And that being the case, we can't neglect the physiological side as well as the mental game that we must play in order to thrive in this world of work and travel. Oh, With that in mind, mental health comes into its own. Athletes talk to themselves all the time, and they're mindful of the language they use, their self-talk, and how they reappraise themselves to manage stress and any challenges that come their way. It's been pointed out that this is actually a great tool for business travelers to use. One, because we all have these conversations going on in our minds. And two, it's with us at all times and therefore is easily an accessible tool to manipulate to help us perform better and manage stress better. Interestingly, when it came to other physiological parameters we can use to reduce stress, for instance, like sleep, the advice and the information that James traded was more about the ability to get consistent sleep as well as the duration of sleep. And considering that there are so many toys and gadgets in the marketplace that proclaim to help one get sleep, I think it's quite comforting to see that we can actually do some pretty basic and simple things. And if done consistently, these would actually be a better bang for your buck than a gadget that can be useful in certain situations or may not, depending on the type of person you are. But that was something that I guess I didn't quite expect, maybe because of my love of gadgets myself. But that was interesting to note as well. So sleep consistency and duration are two of the things that one can do as a business traveler that are going to actually help you more so than looking at sleep stages and things of that nature. Good point to note. Moving on to some of the other aspects that enhance performance, we had a bit of a laugh about this because James ribbed me that I wanted to get straight to the good stuff. The good stuff of what can help you enhance your performance that is legal. Basically, you have creatine, caffeine, protein powder, and the outlier, the use of light. In a nutshell, what was interesting about the use of caffeine was that I found that we don't actually need as much of it to get the benefit that it can give us. In fact, it's fair to say that we generally are an over-caffeinated population. We could do a hell of a lot more with less. And to back it up, James refers to some interesting data gathered by himself and some colleagues in the same field as him. Creatine. Creatine was an interesting one. I had known it from my bodybuilding days, and I kept remembering James referring to it as a high energy molecule. And lo and behold, since our interview, lots of other research has come out to support the use of creatine in things as wide ranging as inflammation and immunity. Personally, I upped my dose because if it's good for bodybuilding and inflammation, who doesn't have inflammation these days? It's a great thing to take. It's relatively cheap. And as long as you use it reasonably and responsibly, I don't see what harm you can do with it. I must say, I'm not a doctor. I'm talking from my own experience here and what I've been doing since coming across this distinction with James. And I would advise you to take the advice of your health care practitioner, professional person, if you are in any doubt. But that said, creatine, the high energy molecule, is one of those things can actually help you. And it's one of the most researched supplements out there that has some valid science behind it. The talk about protein powder came into its own by virtue of the fact that we're talking to the business traveler audience. And I say that with certainty from the discussion with James because it's known that one night of disrupted sleep can actually bring protein synthesis to a halt. Now, protein synthesis is something that has to or should continually happen to maintain good health as something that might bring you closer to this understanding. If you look at the elderly, when they fall, they hurt themselves, break bones, and oftentimes there is a relative decline in health after falls. This has been established by science. Well, it's hypothesized that if they had more muscle, more musculature to pad them and break that fall, then potentially there's a chance that they would have better health outcomes in that respect. So from that, we're deducing that if you are strong and muscular, then you stand a better chance at the longevity stakes because you have more muscle to help you survive trips, slips and falls and things of that nature. So with that said, as a business traveler, if you don't get horizontal rest on your night flight to Tokyo or San Francisco, then you're bringing protein synthesis to a halt. And this is not a good thing. Therefore, supplementing with protein is something that should be part of every business traveler who wants traveler well-being as part of their journey. They should really consider that and make that a staple of their travel schedule and protocols. And if you get to flash those pecs or buns, more power to you. Moving on, the last item that James pulled out of the hat, I should say, was light. And in the context of understanding one's circadian rhythm, it makes total sense that our ability to thrive in light and its effect on our performance is palpable when you are deprived of light, I guess I would say. So making sure that we have decent daylight exposure is one of those things that we may take for granted because we live in cities, there's less open spaces to see light, and therefore we might take for granted that it's just one of those things. But the science is, again, unequivocal, that because we are regulated by light, making sure that we get healthy doses of light exposure is something that we should take seriously, especially as we have the ability to turn night into day and day into night. So just before wrapping up now, James mentioned a trick that he used for a particularly long, arduous set of business trips that he had to undertake. And that was where he was able to taper off before the itinerary commenced because he knew that it was going to take so much out of him that he was able to adjust his schedule to make sure that his reserves were essentially full enough to see him through to the other end. And, you know, it's something that he said worked for him because he loves travel, and that's how he knew it was going to be arduous. But tapering off beforehand is something that we can all do. Or maybe not. Maybe we don't all have that luxury. But finding some way to add more restorative practices to our days, our weeks, and our habits and protocols that give us that bit of reserve before we take to the skies for an extended trip is something that we can all try and do. As I like to say, most business travelers are one or two trips even, away from burnout. And doing whatever you need to do to protect yourself from burnout is what you need to do. If that's tapering off or having some leave before time or having some days where you just clear your desk of the things that you might normally get to doing so that you can recover fully, then that's what you must do. This conversation was enlightening because I would like to revisit with James again in the future to see how he's getting on, because he is someone who still travels quite a bit, as well as doing the work of working with knowledge workers, the likes of Formula One and others in the human performance space. And it will be interesting to see how much of that is still valid and I would like to think that we've come to a point where we have more firm ideas about what it takes for us individually to be able to perform well while we travel. So with that said, I hope you enjoyed this short recap. And as always, wherever you go, farewell.